is Matthew chapter 20:17-28. Matthew 20, verse 17-28. And Jesus, going up to Jerusalem, took the 12 disciples apart in the way, and said unto them, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles, to mock, and to scourge, and to crucify him, and the third day he shall rise again. Then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children, with her sons, worshipping him, and desiring a certain thing of him. And he said unto her, What wilt thou? She saith unto him, Grant that these my two sons may sit, the one on the right hand and the other on the left, in thy kingdom. But Jesus answered and said, Ye know not what ye ask. Are ye able to drink of the cup that I shall drink, and to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? They say unto him, We are able. Then he said unto them, Ye shall drink indeed of my cup, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father. And when the 10 heard it, they were moved with indignation against the two brethren. But Jesus called them unto him and said, Ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you, but whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister, and whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. I would like you to turn to the Bible at two or three points. And if you have a red ink pen, to underline, so that week after week, as you have new passages of the Bible read, you will begin to learn all the connections. So now let us turn to Matthew chapter 20, reading from verse 20-22. Then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children, with her sons, worshipping him, and desiring a certain thing of him. And he said unto her, What wilt thou? She said unto him, Grant that these two, my sons, may sit, the one on the right hand and the other on the left, in thy kingdom. But Jesus answered and said, Ye know not what ye ask. Are ye able to drink of the cup that I shall drink and to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. They say unto him, we are able. We have the case of Mrs. Zebedee praying to the Lord to make his two sons prime minister and minister of finance in his kingdom. That is the way of the world. Every one of us want to be leaders. It is a sinful way. This desire to be leaders invades also the church. And the church also rival among itself to be leaders. Why does the church follow the world? Because the church, we are still with our old sinful nature. And that is not good. These words so angered the rest of the apostles, because they also want to be leaders. I see clearer without my glasses. So that is an improvement. Now turn to Luke chapter 22, verses 24 Luke chapter 22, verses 24 to 27. And there was also a strife among them. Which of them should be accounted the greatest? This thing occurs again. And they said unto them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they exercise authority upon them, are called benefactors. But ye shall not be so, but he that is greatest among you, let him be as a younger, and he that is chief, as he that doth serve. For whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat, or he that serveth? Is not he that sitteth at meat, but I among you as he that serveth. Think of it, they were quarreling who should be the first. But now, at the last, when Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper before he went on the cross for his crucifixion. A time when the disciples should be searching their hearts and be repenting. We see them rivaling again, wanting to be number one. Returning to the passage we first read, when Mrs. Zebedee came to ask the Lord to make his two sons the leaders in his kingdom, prime minister and minister of finance, we find that the Lord now told them the truth. For me to make you to be leaders in my kingdom, number one and number two, that is not for me to do. That is the power of the Father, God the Father, But to drink my cup and to be baptized with my baptism, that I can give. To drink his cup, bitter cup, and to be baptized with a bitter baptism is to die for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And because they are so anxious to get the position that we are able, rashly. So Jesus gave it to them. To sit one on the right and on the left is not me to give. But if you want to die for me, okay. You will die one on the right side and one on the left. And so, what Jesus said was fulfilled after his ascension. In Acts chapter 12, 1 and 2, it tells us of King Herod, who killed the first apostle. There were 12 apostles. And it pleased the Jews. The first one to die was James. And so, it was fulfilled. Not only James was killed as a first martyr of the apostles, we have the death of Peter and the martyrdom of Paul also predicted. And according to tradition, all the apostles died the same death. And John the Apostle, James and John. John the Apostle, who wrote Revelation and was imprisoned on the Isle of Patmos, he died the second death. One on the left and one on the right. Not to be Prime Minister and Minister of Finance, but to be the first two apostles to be martyred, to go through that. Well, I used to think only the apostles would be martyrs. But we Christians are exempt. But not so. If you read Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24 to 25, you'll find that Jesus said, if any man will come after me, any man, any woman, and if he will not deny himself, and take up the cross and follow me. For he that will save his life will lose it. And he that will lose his life for my sake shall find it. We also have to prepare to die for any eventuality. Do you understand that? In Singapore, of course, it's very peaceful. But there are certain seasons, certain times, when whether you like it or not, it will come on you. Let me tell you the story of the Boxer Rebellion in China. The Boxer Rebellion in China that happened in 1900. It was the rule of the Manchus. And because of many political rivalry and many troubles, it broke out into an anti-Christian movement. 188 missionaries, both Protestant and Roman Catholic, including their 53 children. This is all recorded in my book, Asian Awakening. This is the most thrilling chapter, most moving chapter. Were beheaded by the Manchu governor. But how about the Chinese believers? 50,000 were also killed. The wonderful thing is, we read the stories of children encouraging their parents to go to the salt. Daddy, don't be afraid. You'll be in heaven right away. 30,000 Roman Catholics and at least 20,000 Protestant local believers were killed. My grandfather told me that he was a pastor in South China. And they were coming, the boxers, those who joined the movement to persecute Christians were called boxers. And he had a lot of caramel, peanut sweets, and the best of Chinese tea prepared. The Lord gave him the wisdom. And he also had the church hall swept very clean, and he sat there waiting. And then they came. He had a very good signboard, Jesus, a true religion. All the more he was not afraid of them. And when they came, they invited them in and give them tea and sweets. And they, seeing that he was a righteous man, only took away the clock, a German clock hanging on the wall. The Lord protected him. But here is another wonderful story. The two ministers of information were instructed to send a message throughout the country. When they meet a Christian, slay him. But he changed the word. When they meet a Christian, stay him. That means keep him alright. These two ministers were beheaded by the Empress Dowager, the Manchu government. This lesson teaches us that God wants us to know that although our salvation is free, really we thank God by believing our sins are forgiven, by receiving Jesus, the Son of God, to be our Savior, we are saved. Forever saved. But also we must be ready, if it need be, when the time comes, to die for the Lord. Why? Because our Lord, who is sinless, died for us. A much higher sacrifice. And he being the Son of God, and we who have been saved by believing in him, should be willing to pay any price. And that is what it is. What the Lord requires of us. Let us now turn to Matthew 19, 25. Matthew 19:27. Then answered Peter and said unto him, Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. But what shall we have therefore? And Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone that hath forsaken houses or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive 100-fold and inherit everlasting life. When we believe in Jesus Christ, we also must forsake many things that are in the way. For example, forsake even father and mother. If they want to compel you not to believe, you have to take a stand. So you have got to leave father and mother. For God is higher than them. When they do that, you, even houses or lands, for the sake of believing in Christ, you are willing to give up your house and even your property. You can't inherit any property from a father who is a rich man because of your Christianity. Never mind. But God promises He will give you 100 times and you will have everlasting life. What is your position today? You have to believe in Jesus and your father forbids you. Your wife forbids you. Of course, the Bible doesn't say that you will divorce your wife like that. You still have to be kind. And you will have to suffer. I thank God I have believed with all my heart. Not only believed, but I have given my life to serve the Lord because I have found the treasure. And I believe that not only I have everlasting life, but I will have 100-fold. 100-fold does not mean 100 times, but that you will be sufficiently provided. There is no need to worry at all. If you become a Christian, God will take good care of you. So when we have received Him to be a Savior, and God is specially taking good care of us, we will have no worry at all. I am very happy, I am secure in my daily needs, I am secure in the life coming, everlasting life. I have double measure. But you observe those who come to church regularly and those who are outside the world. And those who are outside the world, this person may have big houses, big cars, but he has no peace. Not only have no peace, but many problems. Financial problems because he gambles them away. marital problems because they have left the first love, as Jesus has said. And you see couples walking together. But according to a Chinese proverb, they are sleeping together. But they're dreaming different dreams. One faces one side, one faces the other. Or even to the extent that there are two rooms, husband and wife, they sleep in separate rooms. Problems of family, problems of children, problems that only they themselves know, secret desires, but for evil things. Will they be happy? Oh, how we need to offer the good news of salvation to all and sundry. And you need to hear it every week. Every week there is a good offer from the Lord to you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. When you become a Christian, your problems will be solved. When you become a Christian, sometimes your problems also cannot be solved because you are still in your sinfulness. Therefore, I urge you to come to church every Sunday, because this is the day that the Lord has made and He has promised a blessing, the blessing of peace. To invite us to your house for prayer meeting, and who knows, the things you cannot solve will be solved there. Not greatness, seeking to be number one, to be leader against your friend, and causing much heartache on both sides, but lowliness, following Christ. Let us pray. Father in heaven, so have mercy upon each one of us, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.